I say, if life gives you lemons, don't make lemonade, make a battery. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. This here electronic engineering podcast brought to you by eejournal.com and hosted by me, Amelia Dalton. Folks, we are talking about always-on systems, voice detection, and why analog is critical for our digital future with Marcy Weinstein and Tom Doyle from Aspinity. But first, it's time for a little news you may have missed. Melting Batteries Edition. All right, before we get to that melting part, let me back up a second. Lithium-ion batteries. We love to use them. We hate to throw them away. Or recycle them, or take them on planes, or put them in the mail, and definitely make sure your kids don't eat them. So, in addition to all of that stuff I just mentioned, one of the biggest issues with current lithium-ion batteries is the amount of cobalt they contain, which is problematic in a number of ways, but most importantly includes dangerous mining conditions for child laborers. Yeah. So, not only are these types of batteries not recycled very much at all, but they also increase the demand for cobalt and other precious elements. So, what if we could move away from cobalt completely? But how exactly? Well, if a team of researchers from Texas A&M has anything to do with it, with an organic, metal-free, non-toxic battery that can be recycled by breaking it down in acid. So let me introduce you to the polypeptide organic radical battery. So what are we really talking about when it comes to this new radical technology? Well, the basis of this new battery system are redox active polypeptides, which are actually electrochemically active chains of amino acids, which have been used to build the battery's two electrodes. Now, in order to move forward, these electrodes needed to pass two very important tests. Stay stable during the operation of the battery, of course, and be recyclable. So, during the testing phase of these new organic batteries, they passed that first test with flying colors, stayed stable throughout the operation of the battery. And that second test, the degrading part, now that's super cool. This team from Texas A&M were able to degrade the components of this battery by subjecting them to acidic conditions. Yeah, I get it. I break down in acidic conditions too. So, what was left behind by this degradation process? Amino acids and other benign byproducts, which, according to this team, can be left to dissolve harmlessly in the environment or even be reused. Study author Karen Woolley puts their research in perspective like this. She says, by moving away from lithium and working with these polypeptides, which are components of proteins, it really takes us into this realm of not only avoiding the need for mining precious metals, but opening opportunities to power wearable or implantable electronic devices, and also to easily recycle the new batteries. They are degradable, they are recyclable, they are non-toxic, and they are safer across the board. Now, this is really just the first step in the process to make this kind of sustainable, recyclable batteries a reality. This team is now working on the second step of that process, utilizing machine learning to optimize the materials and the structure of the battery platform with the help of the 2020 Texas A&M Triads for Transformation grant. So, if you want even more information about this new organic battery research, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com, including a white paper called Polypeptide Organic Radical Batteries. Super cool. All right, it's time to bring in Tom and Marcy from Aspinity and investigate the analog data conundrum. Hi, Marcy and Tom. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having us. All right, so first off, for my audience who may not know, Tom, what is Aspinity all about?
Yeah, so Aspinity is formed to really think about how to solve that, what we call the power and data challenge for edge computing. Over the last number of years, we've seen need to actually sense and gather more information locally and process that locally at the edge versus sending everything to the cloud. And, you know, we really have a new approach and new standards for how we do that for battery operated devices. And so what we see is not just to have edge devices gathering data and, you know, creating inference and detecting events, but have those be very mobile and battery operated. And so it's a big challenge for, you know, the kind of current paradigm for processing, which is digital in nature, right? So we're all used to MCUs, DSPs, microprocessors, and those are all digital cores that actually process this information at the edge. But if we think about it, all of the data that we want to sense is actually naturally analog. And so it's that inefficiency of automatically moving data from analog to digital and then looking at it that really consumes a little bit too much power. And so we look to take advantage of, you know, new machine learning technologies that are focused in analog so we can look at data earlier, gather some information and detect events, right? So in the end, what happens is really with our solution, the whole system approach, and only the data that's important is tended to be digitized. And then we turn on the digital processor, we digitize that data, consume that power when we need to. And so in the end, it's really a pretty significant and revolutionary change in power footprint and also the longevity of battery life. And that's really where we focus.
All right. So, Marcy, I heard that you guys say that analog is critical for our digital future. Why exactly do you think that is?
As Tom said, the world is sensed in analog, but we process it mostly in digital. And we see that as a really large efficiency gap that needs to be closed for future processing. You know, it's well known that analog is inherently low power, and there's some things that it can do better than digital can do, and it can do it more efficiently. So we're trying to leverage those capabilities as much as we can. We're already seeing analog being used in that way in some cases, like in some of these machine learning chips that are doing analog and memory computing. They're using analog for some small parts of the functions in order to use analog for those things that it does well, which is generally the multiply accumulate functions in a neural network. So it's already using analog in a lower power way than it could do those things in digital, but those chips are still operating within the normal digital paradigm that Tom was talking about, where all data is digitized immediately, goes into the chip, and then it's actually converted back to analog for these functions. So it's not really operating within a full analog paradigm. We see that we have the capabilities to actually do some of these earlier stage and more complete processing in analog with our chip. So our chip is actually sensing the raw analog sensor data and making inferences and classifying that data. And we see that as a really big benefit to the systems as a whole. And we just think that being able to take advantage of this low power analog processing is going to be really important in the future as these always on devices just continue to generate and generate lots and lots of data.
All right. So Tom, I heard you guys recently released a fully analog machine learning IC called Analog ML Core. So Tom, what exactly does this IC buy me as an engineer?
We released that, and what it really provides is the ability to actually drop in this solution into existing systems that are built within the digital paradigm and actually start to add value with regards to battery efficiency and power efficiency. So that's what it gets you. But it also gets you this flexibility and this notion of, you know, building machine learning models that typically for digital cores, they can do inferencing and classification. They can detect voice. They can detect wake words. They can detect vibrational problems and bio issues and things like that. And so, you know, that's a great flexibility that's been inherent in part of the digital system forever. And now we're bringing that to analog. So not only do you get a chance to drop in this chip that can be programmed, right, to do different types of detections and inferencing, but you also get that benefit of really dropping the system level power by letting us do that in the analog domain. And so that's quite unique. So you're getting the programmability, the configurability, the really ultra low power, and that flexibility to really kind of drive that. And so, you know, what you'll see is we're on the front end of these systems. We're able to not just detect inferencing and detect events like speech, but also hold data, prepare data, compress data, for use in the mixed stages as well. And so, you know, we continue to evolve our solutions, but it's really, you know, that's what you get. You get a lot of these different capabilities and that flexibility to really drive the system power down to a near zero power.
Okay. So, Marcy, what kind of applications do you think would be best suited for your analog ML core?
So there are so many applications actually of our chip, but what we're focused on most recently is our always listening capability. So, you know, if that's a chip that's always listening for voice or a glass break or something in a smart home or a doorbell or a voice remote control, any of those sort of small, low power devices that really need to last on battery for a considerable amount of time. And even if we're talking about something that's going to be mounted like remotely, you know, something sensing some sound in a field or something somewhere that it's hard to get to, and you want that device to last years and not have to be replaced or stop communicating. So that's the kind of device that we're really focused on right now. But there's so many other applications, like I said, we have looked at and, you know, played with and developed some early solutions for vibration detection with preventative and predictive maintenance in industrial, heart rate anomaly detection for biomedical devices. So there's really this endless stream of applications that we can be used for. And what we're finding is our customers are telling us new ones daily.
That's fantastic. Now, Tom, I saw you guys recently release two really cool evaluation kits, the acoustic event detection evaluation kit and the voice activity detection kit. So can you tell me a bit about both of those? And they both utilize this new core, right?
That's exactly right. And that's, you know, the proof's in the pudding, right? And so what we've done in the last quarter, a few months is release those two kits. And they're really evaluation platforms. So our customers can start to look at our technology, right? So both from the core, but also from the algorithms that we run on the core for things like acoustic event detection. So there's various acoustic event detections. The first one that we're releasing is what we call our glass break algorithm. So we can actually, at very low, near zero power, detect when a window breaks for security applications. Very happens very rarely, but you have to process the data continuously and very low power to be battery operated to be able to do that. And what you'll see is that that EVK1, as we call it, our acoustic event detection, is really a platform from which you'll see more of these algorithms and applications be coming from us in the coming months. So the first one will deliver our voice detection for like presence in a room and our glass break, but then we'll be delivering more in the future. And so the second one is what we call our EVK2. It is our voice detection system. Now that one is much different in the sense that, you know, customers want to evaluate the complete front to back platform. And so what we've delivered as part of that is not just our core, but also a WakeWord engine that's running on one of our partners, ST's MCU. And so what you'll find is for WakeWord engine systems that are typically plugged in with our evaluation kit, we show complete front to back from our other partner, Infineon, and their analog microphone, us always on detecting voice, and then waking up the Amazon WakeWord engine, another one of our partners, and then being able to accurately detect the WakeWord. If there's no voice in the room or in the system, everything goes to sleep. And so we're able to really push down that power quite considerably as well. And so, you know, those two platforms are different, EVK1 and EVK2, but, you know, you'll see not only more algorithms coming out on those platforms, but additional platforms as well. And for us, it's about driving the technology into the customers and letting them actually try it out and evaluate it and easily see how it can drop into a system and really add a lot of value.
All right. It's time for your off-the-cuff question, Marcy, since you haven't been on my show. Okay, so here we go. We have been in lockdown, it seems like, forever. A lot of restaurants are closed. Travel isn't a thing anymore. So if you could have one meal right now, it doesn't matter if the restaurant is closed, you need a passport to get there, or even if it's on the other side of your state, what would you have?
Oh, boy. So we have a couple of really great local restaurants that I'm really looking forward to getting back to. And the only thing I can say about this is I actually don't care what the food is that I eat. If somebody else serves it to me at a table, and I don't have to do the dishes when it's over, that will be good enough for me at this point.
I love that. And I completely agree. 110%. Awesome. Well, it has been a pleasure speaking with both of you. Thank you so much, Tom and Marcy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amelia. Great to talk to you again.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow me or us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by, me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you want to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on the platform of your choice and send me 5 stars, too. And if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or if you just want to chat, I promise I will respond. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of May 14th, 2021, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.